Well, Father, as we come to you in the name of Jesus Christ, man, that song just rings true. We were full of regret and full of shame. We were despicable and sinful. We were dark and angry and ugly. But in that darkness and ugliness, you loved us still, and Christ Jesus, your Son, our Lord, died for us. And now, as we sit here in the sanctuary together today, we truly cry out that we are children of the one true King. Thank you, Father, for our salvation in Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us, for your persistence, for your patience. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't give up on us the first time we heard the gospel or the second time we heard the gospel, even if it took 1,000 times. Thank you, Father. And on this very special day, Father, we also thank you for our mothers. Bless them. Encourage them. And I also want to pray for those, Father, who have lost their mothers, and maybe for them, Mother's Day is kind of a painful day. And I just pray that you would touch their hearts and help them to remember the good and the fact that we'll all be together again one day. So, Lord, as we open your word together, I pray that you would speak to us through your Spirit in the powerful name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise and the glory, and I pray that our mothers are honored. And so in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Well, again, for the recording, happy Mother's Day. On this very special day, as we honor our mothers and as we honor all mothers, I want to honor you and help you feel as important and special as you truly are to us. And as I begin this message this morning, it is a special Mother's Day message, but it's not necessarily about motherhood. It's more about womanhood and wives. And as I get started on this message, some of you are going to want to shoot me. But know that this message is a gift. It's my gift to you. And if it begins a little rough, it should end well. So hang in there. And really, I got the idea for this message several months ago while reading some classic literature. You know, it doesn't matter if a student is 13 years old or 43. As I should be reading for my dissertation, I find myself reading everything but. And I found that I really have come to enjoy reading classic literature. It's those books and novels that I really should have already read by now. And in so doing, I stumbled across a writer that I've come to enjoy, George Washington Irving. Now, George Washington Irving wrote in the early part of the 19th century, and one of his books that I've particularly come to enjoy is a book of short stories called The Sketchbook. The Sketchbook. And some of his short stories in The Sketchbook that you have no doubt heard are Rip Van Winkle and The Legend of Sleepy Hollow. But there's another one in there that you probably haven't heard of. It's a short story entitled The Broken Heart. And it so moved me. It so touched my heart, it's rang with such truth that short story led to this Mother's Day message. So if you have your Bibles, please turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. 1 Peter. 1 Peter is towards the back of the New Testament. Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter. Then you have the Epistles of John. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Or just look up there. Now, as we look at this passage this morning, this one verse, this message is not really even going to focus on this verse. It's going to focus on a phrase in this one verse. And as you look at 1 Peter chapter 3, it begins with an exhortation to wives and how they are to act toward their non-Christian husbands. And then when we get to verse 7, we find an exhortation to husbands on how to act toward their wives. And it all, ay, chihuahua, and it all comes under the major heading of submission. Submission. So read with me 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. So husbands, we are told here to be considerate and respectful of our wives because they are the weaker partner.
Oh, yeah.
The weaker partner. So, mothers, wives, women, lend me your ears. You are the weaker partner. And I didn't say you're the weakest link. You know, what I said, as I quoted from God's eternal and infallible word, is that you're the weaker partner. Now, in our modern society, we've already made it through women's lib, and you women can vote, and you have a say in the workplace, and you know what, ladies, you can do anything you like as long as you're here in the democratically free West, so to speak. So when I say this, that wives are the weaker partner, when you read this, do you find it upsetting? I mean, do you want to call up God on his private hotline and ask him why he's so biased and intolerant? I mean, the day is coming, and maybe the day is already here, when this could be deemed hate speech. I mean, is God a hater? Or, just maybe, does it give you want to investigate further into what this could really mean? Because one of the hard parts about this phrase, the wives being the weaker partner, is it doesn't go anywhere. You try to find threads through the New Testament or the Old Testament, and you really can't find anything. So all of a sudden, you just read this, and you're like, what do I do with that? So I want to try to help you this morning. Because the whole reason for my message this morning, as I honor women on this Mother's Day, is not just to tell you that you're weak, but it's to help you understand your God-given strengths and what differentiates you from men so that we can understand each other just a little bit better. And as we focus on this phrase in this one verse in 1 Peter 3:7, really the basis of my sermon is 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 27 through 29. So read that with me. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him." And then the Apostle Paul continues on in 2 Corinthians 12:10, and he says, "That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong." So, ladies, you are the weaker partner, but in that weakness you find your strength. In your weakness, you find your strength. And just remember, it's not the big splash that people remember. It's the little wave that lasts forever. So let us look closer at this verse, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Now, the original Greek wording here says that wives are the weaker vessel. The weaker vessel. Now, we know from 2 Corinthians chapter 4 that all sin-fallen men and women are broken vessels. And by our knowledge of the gospel of Christ Jesus in our hearts, we, by faith, carry around in us treasure. We, jars of clay, have treasure within us. But the Greek word that's translated weaker is the word asthenes. That's how it's written in the Greek, asthenes. And it literally means without strength, weak, feeble, or delicate. And we find this word many times throughout the New Testament. Here's a few examples. We find it in 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 1, verse 27, which I've already read to you. God chose the weak things. He chose the asthenes of the world to shame the strong. 1 Corinthians 4:10, Paul is speaking sarcastically, and he says, "We are fools for Christ, but you are so wise in Christ. We are weak. We are asthenes, but you are strong." And one more, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 14 says, "We urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, help the asthenes, and be patient with everyone." So it's obvious that this Greek word refers to physical weakness, being physically weaker. And that's how many of the modern-day commentators take it, and I think they're being safe. I think they're copping out. Because in the context of many of these verses where this word is found, it connotes not just physical weakness, but an emotional weakness as well. So, ladies, you're the weaker partner both emotionally and physically. Happy Mother's Day. But I want you to remember, it's your weakness in Christ where you are made strong. So let's get down to business here and talk about the differences between men and women. Now, I want you to remember that human beings are complex creatures. And there are exceptions to most every rule. Yet there are truisms that ring true. And this is one. Now, I always say this, but I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm going to say, I don't know if a man can truly love outside of Christ. Now, again, there are exceptions to the rule, but men are inherently selfish. We feel lust or loneliness. We seek for companionship, and we call it love. And you know what? Our lives tend to be self-absorbed because men want to leave a mark on this world. You know, we seek significance above all else. We want high adventure, yet love is the dark forest where we dare not tread. I mean, men are not content just being. Men aren't content just being carpenters. They want to be the best carpenter. They want to be the best horseshoer. They want to be the best at whatever you are. They're not content just to be. They want to be the best. There's always a sense of competition, of fighting, of king of the hill, the last man standing. Now, in Christ, that's tempered, but it's still present. And I can honestly say, as I bear my heart and soul before you, I don't want to be just a pastor. I want to be the best pastor. I don't want to be just a preacher. I want to be the best preacher. The best ever. And I find drive in my life to honor Christ and working towards that goal. And sometimes I get tired, just tired. And sometimes I feel like a failure. And I find myself thinking, wouldn't it be nice if I just stayed home with the kids and was Mr. Mom? I mean, it wouldn't have the pressure. I wouldn't have all this expectation. I could just be. And then I wake up and I slap myself. And I realize and I know that if I stayed home with the kids all day, I would be miserable. I would be completely miserable. And I'd be so miserable that everyone else would be miserable. Because men by nature are on mission. I mean, that's why. That's what we do. And I'm sure, ladies, you've noticed that the Bible seems to be written by men to men. Now, it was written through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, but it came through men. And you know what? Most of the time, they're speaking to men. As Jesus speaks to his disciples, men, it's recorded. And do you want to know why this is? Do you want to know why it seems like the Bible is spoken directly to men? It's because men need to be commissioned and sent out on mission in order to have that sense of duty that drives us. We have to have that. Go and make disciples. Go to the ends of the earth. I will be with you always. Go and be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Go, man! You see, we guys, we have to be commanded to lay down our selfishness and to live for others, learning how to love and be patient. And that becomes our mission that drives us. It becomes a mission that we strive for. And without that mission, we don't have that sense of duty that helps us keep going. Now, George Washington Irving speaks of men, and he says this in this short story, The Broken Heart. Man is the creature of interest and ambition. His nature leads him forth into the struggle and bustle of the world. Love is but an embellishment of his early life or a song piped into the intervals of the acts. He seeks for fame, for fortune, for space in the world's thought, and domination over his fellow man. And man, this was written 200 years ago, and it still rings true. Just as the Bible began being written 4,000 plus years ago, and it still rings true. Husbands are the stronger partner. We are physically stronger, but we're also stronger emotionally. That's how we can leave our families for weeks or months or years. That's how we can kill, and that's how we can slaughter. That's why we always seek dominion. I mean, that's why we protect ourselves and those that are ours by protecting our hearts. But as we protect our hearts, we start to lose touch and lose feeling with the very thing that helps us to relate and show compassion to the people we love. Our heart. And then a man's strength becomes his weakness. So, wives, the weaker partner, what is it exactly that causes you to be emotionally weaker, yet at the same time, what is it about your weakness that becomes your greatest strength? Again, I quote Washington Irving. He says this, "But a woman's whole life is a history of the affections. The heart is her world. It's there her ambition strives for empire. It's there her avarice seeks for hidden treasures. She sends forth her sympathies on adventure. She embarks her whole soul in the traffic of affection. And if shipwrecked, her case is hopeless, for it is a bankruptcy of the heart." Ladies, know this. Men, try to understand this. Ladies, your heart is your world. Your heart is your world. You love. You love us, men. And I'm not just talking about a mother loving her son. I'm talking about women. Women loving their men. You love us. You love us, your husbands. But we don't really understand that, and you don't understand why we can't understand that. And that's why, as a man strives after significance and success, our wives strive after us. And that's why, as a man's dreams find failure and his world comes crashing down around him, the woman's world is not destroyed, because her world is her husband. And that's how a woman can be a stay-at-home mom and find fulfillment in it, because her children are her world, because her husband is her world. And that's why women stick with men who are such jerks and treat them like trash and are abusive, because women have given their hearts away. We jerks have become their world. Men, do you have a mustard seed of understanding of the godly gift your wife is? Do you realize why she's weaker? Do you realize why she's delicate? Because she's given her heart to you, all of it. That's why. And that's why, for a woman, the worst thing that could ever come up to her life is not bankruptcy, it's not even illness, it's the broken heart. It's the broken heart. So let me make a few remarks about my wife, Abaya. And in so doing, I'm speaking of every single one of you ladies. And to you ladies, this is going to sound obvious and silly, but to us men, this is what you need to watch for. Understand this. Last week, Chloe and I were in Burnie, and we're looking for some place to eat dinner. And lots of times when we can't decide where we want to eat, we just go to HEB, the grocery store, we get some sushi, and we sit in the little cafeteria area there, and we eat. And while we were eating sushi, Abaya called me on the cell phone. She had no idea where we were. But she said, "If you happen to be near HEB, I want to let you know that you are out of coffee and milk." That was the whole conversation, and we hung up. I said, "Okay, thanks." Now, what makes this significant is that I drink a different coffee than she does. I have a Keurig, and I use a K-cup, and she has her own coffee. She doesn't drink my coffee. She doesn't touch it. It's not for her. It's just for me. And I'm lactose intolerant, so I drink lactate milk, a milk that she will never drink. It's not for her. It's not for her. It's just for me. So when she called me on the phone and said, "If I happen to be near the grocery to get these things," it was for me. But it was important enough to her for her to call me, because she cares for me. She loves me. She loves me. She's given me her heart so that she cares if I have coffee or milk. She cares. And you know what? So many times I take that for granted. It's only by God's mercy does he remind me of what he's given me in her. And I'm going to tell you, the cat's out of the bag. I mean, I'm a regular guy. I'm a jerk. And if groceries or personal items are not for me personally, then honestly, they're just not on my mind. I mean, it's very rarely that I call a buy and say, "Oh, you're out of something. You need it." I just, my mind doesn't go there. I tend to be self-absorbed. And honestly, when I start thinking about men in general, I think the way the macho mind tends to work is men in general tend to take care of themselves first. Why? Because I think that we have to make ourselves stronger, and if we take care of ourselves first and that we are strong, then we can take care of those around us, those that we care for. So we're always looking out for ourselves, trying to be strong, when it's our wives who are looking out for everyone else. I am so focused on my mission, whether it be for church, whether it be for the gospel, whether it be for the Lord, no matter what I'm doing, I'm seeking significance, really. And I tend to forget what's truly significant. And as my three daughters are growing up, it's been a pleasure and a blessing to watch them grow. And I've gotten to watch the friendships and the hurts and the pain. And I've seen my girls feel more comfortable with other little girls, or my young women feel more comfortable with boys than other young women. And I think there's something to that. I think maybe that little girls and young women, their hearts are bursting yet vulnerable, and they really learn to hurt each other. And as a result, they struggle with insecurities that follow them into adulthood. And most of the problems between women, whether in this church or outside of this church, are struggles with insecurity, because women desire security as men desire significance. But I've seen this too. And I know for a fact that when my daughters give their hearts to someone, they give themselves wholeheartedly, as they should. Is it any wonder that God said a man shall leave his mother and father and be united with his wife and become one flesh? We're made whole together. That's the way God intended it from the beginning. Women need the no-nonsense strength of a man, and men need the wholeheartedness of their wives, and together we're made whole. Whole people, whole disciples. And really, it's a beautiful thing. I mean, when Abraham told Sarah to lie and tell everyone she was his sister, Genesis chapter 20, which was a half-truth, she was his half-sister, but a half-truth is a lie. When Abraham told his wife, Sarah, to lie and say she was his sister in order to save his life, and here comes King Abimelech, and he takes her, and she doesn't make a big scene. Why? Why? Because she loved her husband. She loved all of them, the good, the bad, and the ugly. She loved him, and in so doing, she showed women of all ages and time periods the true beauty of a faithful wife. And since we've been going through the narrative of Joseph, we all know the account of Leah and Jacob, and it's just heartbreaking. But Leah gave her whole heart to this man who loved another, her sister. And her whole life was lived for him. And as she bore him sons, she said, "Surely my husband will love me now. Now at last my husband will become attached to me," Genesis 29. And the Bible doesn't say, but I truly believe that she died of a broken heart. How many women hurt when all that they desire is the love of their man? How many women hurt when all they desire is the love of their man? And if you want an honest answer, all do to some extent. Again, George Washington Irving writes of women, and he says, "She is more the companion of her own thoughts and feelings. And if they are turned into ministers of sorrow, where shall she look for consolation? Her lot is to be wooed and won, and if unhappy in her love, her heart is like some fortress that's been captured and sacked and abandoned and left desolate." And as he finishes that short story, he writes about a woman in his time period who died of a broken heart. So ladies, you're the weaker partner, but in that weakness you find your strength. It's in that weakness that you find your strength. And remember, as we men are running around trying to make the biggest splash, it's not the biggest splash that people are going to remember. It's the little wave that lasts forever. And when the Apostle Paul spoke of the roles of women, of husbands and wives in marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, what if he's simply telling us to naturally do what comes natural to us, yet for some reason we have a hard time understanding or coming to terms with that truth? I mean, Paul says to wives in Ephesians 5:22, he says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands as you do to the Lord." What if Paul is simply saying through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "Wives, simply do what comes naturally for you due to your heart full of love. Wholeheartedly love your husband in the way you live for him, no matter how knuckleheaded he acts." And Paul writes to husbands in Ephesians 5:25, and he says, "Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her." And what if Paul is simply saying, "Husbands, do what comes naturally to you, but do it for your wives"? I mean, how many men through the ages have given their lives for glory, for honor, for the gospel, for their country. I mean, men will die for a cause in seeking significance. But what if Paul is simply saying, you will die for God and country, so do it for your wife as well. Jesus Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And what's Paul saying here? Or what's Paul doing here? Again, it's the only thing that makes sense to a man. He's giving us mission. Dun, 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 ba-da-loo. Your mission, if you choose to say, I do, is to sacrifice yourself for her daily because she has given you her whole heart wholeheartedly. So as I begin to close, I want to go back to our passage, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Let me read it again. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Now, I want you to notice what's going on here in context. Paul's not saying that women, you are weaker. He's not saying the female species is less than. The context here is the covenant relationship between a husband and a wife before God. It's marriage. It's marriage. The context here is marriage. It's husbands and wives. So what he is saying is that in the covenant relationship, the one flesh relationship between a husband and a wife before God, the wife is the weaker partner. And what is he saying? What does that mean, the wife is the weaker partner? What he's saying is that without knowingly doing it, you've made yourself weaker for our sakes by giving us, your husbands, your whole heart. So as I close, I want to say two things. First thing, ladies, we see it. We see it. Even though it's hard for us to understand, it's even harder to put into words, we see it. You've given us everything, and it seems like we don't give much in return. You sacrifice daily without even thinking. You daily give us your heart, and you make our world worthwhile because you've made us your world. And as we, men, chase after waterfalls, you are our stability, and you are our constant, and I want you to know that we see it. And guys, if you haven't yet, may God open your eyes and heart today that you begin to see it. We see it, ladies, and we love you. We love you. We love you the only way we know how. But you have to understand we're still learning, and that leads to the second thing. The second thing. Ladies, be patient with us. Be patient with us, your knuckleheaded husbands, because love for us is a lifelong process of learning. And you see, we as men, we feel that we have to make something of ourselves to earn your love when we don't have to do anything because you've freely given your heart to us. We work so hard to earn your love when you're freely giving us your heart. It sounds just like the gospel, doesn't it? It's supposed to. And all I can say is this. One day the waterfalls begin to lose their luster and we begin to realize what's really important. You are. And for some men, it comes quicker than others, but be patient and help us love you by continuing to wholeheartedly love us. And I want to say thank you. Thank you for being weaker, because in your weakness, by giving us your heart, you strengthen us to be stronger. The love of a mother for her child is a wondrous thing. The love of a wife for her husband is a wondrous thing. Really, the love of a woman is a wondrous thing because it's wholehearted. And in that wholeheartedness, it is a reflection of the love of our Father in heaven. So ladies, you are the weaker partner. But in that weakness, you find your strength. And in that weakness, you give us strength. You make yourself weak because you give us all that you got. We see it. We see it. And always remember that it's not about making the biggest splash. It's simply about the ability to continue to love us wholeheartedly. So, roll just like the river. It's the little wave that will last forever. It's the little wave. It's the little wave. That's why we're always looking back and saying, you know, Dad was a businessman or whatever. He did great things, but Mom was always there. It's the little things. It's the little wave that lasts forever. So ladies, on this day, know that we love you dearly. This is your special day, but honestly, God, help us to make every day special for our wives. We might not act like we love you sometimes. Sometimes we truly don't know how, but we do. So I close with a simple verse that reminds us of the source and fountain of our love. Psalm 73:26, which says this: "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." And in closing, let me just say a few more things. If you are a woman and you've been divorced, I want to say this. Instead of rebounding into another relationship, it'll never work. You want to know why? Because your heart is broken. It's not whole. And what you do by nature is give your whole heart. So if you're not wholehearted, you can't give your whole heart, and that relationship will never work. If you have been divorced or something like that, then you know what? You do what Randall did, honestly, and you spend time getting to know God. That's your relationship first and foremost, because it's the Lord Jesus who mends your broken heart and gives you wholeheartedness again so that you can give that heart to another. Focus on the Lord. Let Him mend your broken heart. And in time, He will bring someone else into your life whom you can give your heart to. And secondly, young ladies who have heard this message, I want you to realize how important your heart is to you and how damaging premarital sex is. Because every time you do that, you're giving your heart to a guy who doesn't want it. Trust me, I'm a recovering dirtbag. I know what I'm talking about. And I'm going to say this, and I hope it rings in your head. If a guy doesn't love you enough to wait, he doesn't really love you. If a guy doesn't love you enough to wait, he doesn't really love you. Ladies, you are something special, and we don't always treat you like it. But what makes you so special is that as God tells you to submit, you kind of don't know what that means, and you kind of fight against it, but that's what you do by nature. You submit. And in your submission, you give us all that you got. And when you give us all that you got, you make us stronger. And it works as God has intended. So ladies, mothers, Mom, we love you. You are so special to us. And I pray, that this message rings true with you. If you need special prayers, please come up. We'll be happy to pray with you.
Please stand.